You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we cover down to the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. We do all the issues. And like the guy just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, all right, it is Wednesday. That's the day we play the camel, but it's also the day that we go to the Grand Council, one of my favorite segments. We got two of my other brethren in talk radio, both of whom have been doing this longer than I have, and we ping each other with questions. We don't know the questions in advance. We sometimes agree on the answers, sometimes we don't, but we always love each other when it's done. Let me call the roll. So from FM Talk 106.5 down in the nether regions of our state, also the executive editor for 1819 News, Jeff Poor, are you here?
I am present.
You are, by the skin of your teeth, too, by the way.
That's all that counts.
That's all that counts, brother. You are here. Thank you much. And the host of News and Views on Talk 99.5 in Birmingham, that would be Tim Melton. Timbo, are you here?
Yes, sir. I am standing and I am saluting with all the passion in my bones.
Nice. Well, I pronounce a quorum for today's Grand Council, so Boomer, hit it.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ta-da! All right. All right. I tell you what, let's do this, Jeff, since Tim's not a rookie with us anymore. I think you may be supplanting Dale Jackson. He may have just lost his seat on the council. I'm not sure how to... Anyway, Tim, first question to you. What do you got?
I paid his dentist to make sure his appointment was very painful today. All right, let's kick things off with this. Yesterday, Hugh Freeze was introduced as the new Auburn head football coach. Given Auburn's recent track record, is it more likely that Freeze becomes a future national championship winning head coach or a future United States senator?
I'm not even sure where to go with this. You first, Jeff.
I don't think he can make it in politics. Just that track record is going to be a little tough for him. But I don't know what to think of this hire. It's like, well, he's as best as we can do, so why not go for it? So national champion probably is more likely in his cards than politics.
I tend to agree. I would say national champion as an Auburn fan, I'm hoping. But then again, I have seen some amazing personal baggage get dragged into politics and not slow the person down. So who knows? But here's the thing. I'm with Jeff. I don't know what to think about this hire. I look at it as an Auburn fan and go, wow, okay, so that's the best we could do, I guess. I think he's probably a great coach. I think he brings some baggage. I think what's going to happen is if he has a good season and beats Alabama in the next year, he's probably in for life. Your own question. What do you think, Tim?
That sums it up pretty well. What they did was they traded an outsider of Brian Harsin for an insider in Hugh Freeze, and now it's all about whether or not he can win on the recruiting trail and can win on the field of play, especially against Coach Saban, which is probably his claim to fame at this point. But I would just argue that if, you know, Donald Trump can survive the Access Hollywood tape, Hugh Freeze may have a future in politics.
And there you have it. But I will say this, though, just for the good of the order, I think the idea that he kept Carnell Williams and actually elevated his position was the right move. I think that also helps recruiting, and I also think it helps sort of put some salve on the wounds of some of the blowback he's getting right now.
Well, tell me something, though. Yeah. Does it seem like there's two head coaches? It's like you can't have two popes. Can you navigate that? Will that cause problems? That would be my fear.
I don't know, but I mean, it's definite. Well, you know which one is supposed to be the head coach. So I think in the end, if there's a disagreement about something to do with strategy, Freeze is still going to win.
And Cadillac, he worked for Gus Malzahn. He worked for Brian Harsin. This is his third head coach he's working for. He's not the type of person that's going to create division within the Auburn family for personal gain. I just don't see that being a part of his playbook.
And I will say this, too. The position he's been given gives him an opportunity to hopefully get some true mentoring on the idea of being a future head coach himself in D1. So, all right, next question, Jeff. What you got? Take yours.
What do you make of this this early endorsement. Tuberville reiterating it, but Dale Strong endorsing Donald Trump in 2024 seems kind of – the timing to me seems a little odd.
It does seem odd, especially since I had not seen that yet. So that happened, what, today? When was that?
Yeah, Dale Strong announced his endorsement for Trump's 2024 presidential campaign kind of out of nowhere.
Ah, you know what? Wow, I don't know. I mean, and to what end? I mean, is there a reason? I don't know why you would do that right now, except
I'll speculate for you. I think
State party coordinator? What do you think?
Well, I think they're maybe, but I think they're worried. I think they're worried about DeSantis, and I think Trump's on getting on the phone, calling people and lobbying support and getting it early, trying to lock down support before the DeSantis train catches any momentum.
And if you want to raise your profile, you become the state coordinator for a major election like that, and then if they win, you've got a heads up. But I don't know. What do you think, Tim?
I just don't see any sort of negatives or pitfalls that you have in making that endorsement this early because Donald Trump is so well supported by his constituents. So I just don't see that as being too far out of left field if he had come out and said he'll support anybody but Trump. Now, that would be shocking to me. But this right here, I mean, the only thing that's kind of like a jarring about it is the fact that there's no other candidate in the race. Even the current president of the United States hasn't officially announced that he's running again for re-election in 2024.
Yeah, I look at it and think, okay, you haven't even gotten your new office yet. You don't even know where the bathrooms are in the Capitol, and you're already making endorsements. It would have been, I think, easier and perhaps even more prudent to just keep your powder dry and wait to the opportune time. This doesn't feel like your own question, Jeff. What do you think?
Well, if they wanted to, Dale Strong wanted to, and I don't know that he would, but just in case, wanted to de-endorse Donald Trump and endorse somebody else, he could say, well, you know, this is exactly how Donald Trump did Mo Brooks. So, you know, I'm not that far, you know, the apple don't far from that tree.
Wow. Okay. Wow. That'd be a hoot. We'll wait and see. All right. Third question for the first round. Let me do this. Elon Musk just announced today, actually through a tweet, that Twitter, in his opinion, did in fact actively engage in electioneering back in the 2020 campaign. He's even said there's a document dump that'll be coming out very soon. Basically, he's dissing and dishing on the corporation he just spent $44 billion on. Is the Biden Department of Justice going to investigate? What do you think, Tim? Insurrection, dude.
I would argue that they have more important pressing matters like the Hunter Biden laptop and all the ties to potentially nefarious activity with foreign governments to get to first. I'm sure that they'll be buttoned up and are ready to tackle that first. No, I don't trust the Biden Department of Justice to handle anything right now. I support my local dog catcher more to actually get to the bottom of an investigative process than I do the Biden DOJ. So no, I don't think, if anything, this will probably just lead to Twitter being deplatformed even quicker. And that's unfortunate.
By the way, dog catcher is a hard job, but go ahead, Jeff, what do you think, man?
Well, wouldn't this fall under the jurisdiction of the Federal Election Commission? Remember, you know, will this be an in-kind contribution, or is this just a, you know, it's their the freedom of speech, the First Amendment. If they want to do this, they are within their ability. I mean, what would be the criminality, I guess, is my question.
I don't know if it'd be criminality per se. I think we have to look at it and go, was someone though paying or colluding to make it happen? I don't know. I hate to even use the word collusion. It's been so beat up, but the reality is we're looking at the January 6th Commission is trying to prove insurrection that was not an insurrection. Do they even care whether there were actual influences that were choosing to make, you know, the public square something that was less amenable to truth?
It damages their credibility. But what's the? I want the Department of Justice investigating crimes. Would this be a crime necessarily?
I don't know. That's why I bring it up for the discourse here. Tim, what you got?
I think the Department of Justice is only going to bring the hammer down on, you know, this Twitter investigation if they feel like they're swaying elections more than the Department of Justice actually is. They'll probably want to figure out their techniques because My goodness, they're the ones going to Facebook saying, hey, you know, just so you know, any sort of actual factual information, it's Russian misinformation and it should be killed to begin with. So it all really ties back into the Hunter Biden laptop story. I said that jokingly, but it really, they showed their cards at that point in the election cycle.
And if we find out ever once that the Biden campaign actually asked for them to suppress the story, then we got a whole new day. I think that becomes something that the DOJ can't even handle anymore. It's like too big for their own, you know, their own capabilities. All right, fellas, let's call round one. We'll take a break right now. We'll come right back. We're with the Grand Council, Jeff Poor, Tim Melton, and myself, pinging each other with questions and just seeing what's out there. You guys stand by. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. We are back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, solid conservative, just plain right, making it cool to be a conservative. Hey, I'm back on the horn here, the Grand Council, we call it, every Wednesday at 4 o'clock. I've got my brethren, FM Talk 106.5, the Jeff Poor Show, also the executive editor of 1819 News, that would be Jeff Poor. And then today, Tim Melton, from host of News and Views and Talk 99.5 in Birmingham. Appreciate you guys being with us. Tim, I believe you have the first round or second round first question.
All right. I'm going to go a little apolitical here. Fleetwood Mac, singer-songwriter Christine McVie, yes, passed away today at the age of 79. Fans of Fleetwood Mac have been posting tributes all afternoon on social media, many having grown up listening to the band. When you look back, what's a band that meant a lot to you growing up?
Whoa. Oh, you just went, golly, Tim, that's like I'm all in my feels now. First of all, I will say the idea that Christine McVie was in a member of Fleetwood Mac was 79 years old is hard for me to fathom. I did lose a little love for them when they played at the inaugural for Bill Clinton. But that being said, a band that, like, just in my mind, I mean, I got several, but a band that resonates for me, like, just speaks of high school, one is Boston, the other one is Journey. The Journey Escape album is really high school to me. So there's that. What about you there, Jeff?
Probably something like, on one hand, like a Metallica, but then we could go the other direction and be like Alabama. So, growing up in Alabama in the 1990s was a very a musically diverse time for me.
I can relate. What about you, though, Tim?
I was a teenager in the mid to late 2000s, and I was listening to Aerosmith. I was going back to the good stuff, so I didn't waste my time with a lot of stuff that was on radio, actually, during the time of my high school years. So Aerosmith, for me, was the first band I fell in love with.
So you were in Aerosmith 2.0, or were you hearkening back to the original days of their, you know, like, Walk This Way and stuff like that?
I was listening to their original stuff. I was listening to Dream On and all kinds of their original stuff. I actually like a lot of their early stuff.
I tell you, another band that really just got all over me was Bad Company. I loved Bad Company with that kind of bluesy rock sound. Golly, I didn't expect this to go down this way. Jeff, bring us back to political stuff. What do you got?
Well, I want to bring it way back into political, into the weeds here. The Ledbetter announcing committee chairman. Obviously, Danny Garrett keeping the ETF chairmanship, and the Jim Hill on Judiciary. You know, those are continuing with what was left behind. But what do you? It's probably more for you, Phil. Though, what do you make of this? Joe Lover taking over for Mike Jones, who lost a state senate bid on the Rules Committee. But General Fund going with Rex Reynolds, Steve Klaus getting the boot, so to speak. What do you make of that?
Well, I didn't say anything. I told him I wouldn't, but I was I had Ledbetter in my studio. You wrote a piece on that, Jeff. Thank you. But the other day, and I said, Klaus going to keep his position? And he kind of said, don't tell anybody, but no. And the indication I got, he was very he didn't have anything negative to say about Klaus. He just said he just felt like it was probably not going to be a good fit anymore, which told me that behind the scenes, the race to be speaker left some bad blood.
What do you think Klaus does? I mean, he's the longest, one of the longest serving members. He's not going to sit in the back of the room and just go to free lunches all day, is he?
Well, I think right now he's going to lick his wounds, but then, you know, I mean, there's going to be a place for, I mean, he's definitely somebody that that people can look to for mentorship on how the process works, but he just, you know, I guess he sort of blew it on this. But then again, at the same time, how long do you get to hold this position? At what point do you not say, hey, up and coming, new leadership, maybe you get a chance?
Well, what do you think, though? I mean, as a general fund chairman, the reputation for him, I mean, it wasn't like he was he always had everything down pat and the numbers and was really good with that. But then he also had to be the guy, the bearer of bad news. When you didn't go along with leadership, you got your money for your state park taken away. You know, he was the guy knocking on your door like the Undertaker, like, bad news for you here. You didn't play ball with us.
Yeah.
So, I'm mixed on that, but the choice of Rex Reynolds is a little interesting.
Yeah, Rex Reynolds, I can't really speak to that in detail because I've never actually worked with him, but I'll just tell you that I think this one came down to a situation of personalities and discord more than experience. But, Tim, your thoughts?
This is why I listen to you guys and read you guys, because all these interpersonal relationships really do play a part in the story of what's happening there and how the sausage is made. So I agree with both of you.
That was very political of you. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Hey, real quick, we got about a minute and a half here before we wind up hitting the hard break and ending today's council. I'll just ask this question. We expect right now, any day, allegedly, that the Secretary of the Air Force will announce the final word on the placement of Space Command. Of course, Huntsville is it for now, but Colorado is begging and trying every hook and crook trick they can, and now we're an anti-abortion state. So what's going to happen, in your opinion? Are we getting Space Command or not? Jeffro?
Yeah, I think it's coming here. That's the indication I've gotten from just watching some random committee hearings and watching these our delegation really press on that stuff. To go against the wishes of the Pentagon, it would be shamelessly political, no question about it. But is that a fight? Does the Biden administration not get crossways with Alabama or Republicans? But do they want to get crossways with the Pentagon?
Well, and I got a thought on that, but Tim, I'll let you go first. About 30 seconds.
I'll just use a football analogy really quickly here. The call on the field was Huntsville, and there's not enough evidence to overturn it.
It
just clearly seems like they should be sticking with Huntsville, because that was the original call on the field. You've got to come up with evidence to be able to then take it away from Huntsville, and that's just not evident.
I think, too, when you've got outgoing Senator Shelby, but you've also got incoming, soon-to-be House Armed Services Committee Chairman Mike Rogers from Alabama, I think it's going to be real hard for them to pull this back, and I'm pretty sure it's coming to Alabama. All right, fellas, there's another one in the can. We appreciate your time. That would be Jeff Poor, FM Talk 106.5 from Mobile and 1819 News. And then Tim Melton, News and Views on Talk 99.5 in Birmingham. Thank you, fellas. Appreciate you both.
Thank you.
All right. Wow. That was a good one, Boomer. I just liked it.
It was good.
It was good.
I like it.
All right, folks, stay tuned. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, coming back with the third part of the Triple Dipper. We'll be right back.